I still don't see how it could possibly have been Arthur Wilde. I was talking to him all the time he was having his bath.
Yes, I know you thought that. His wretched wife thought so too. It confused all my thinking for a long time. You had this mental picture of Wilde lying there in his tub and washing behind his ears. You heard all the suitable noises. Running taps, splashy, soapy noises and so on. If you could have seen...
Seen what?
Seen Wilde come into the bathroom in his underpants, clutching the glove he'd taken from the tall boy in his wife's room a little while earlier. He turned on the tap, splashed about with his hands, pretended to be washing while he spoke to you. And then, probably calling out to you first, he slipped out through the door of his dressing room just as the maid entered your room.
You mean that was when he killed Rankin?
Exactly. 8 seconds later, the gong sounded and all the lights went out. Wilde darted back, tore off his clothes and got into the bath. And while he was lying there, chatting to you, well, I imagine he gave himself a thorough scrub in case Rankin's blood had spattered his body.
But why did he do it?
Well, primarily for the money. He knew that Rankin was leaving him £3,000. I've been making a few inquiries, and he seems to have been in a bit of a fix generally. Marjorie Wilde owes over £1,000 to various dressmakers, and he'd lost heavily on his last book. But I don't think money was the only reason.
You mean it was because of the way that Rankin was carrying on with his wife?
Yes, it was all pretty shameless, and Rankin didn't go out of his way to conceal it. And that stupid Marjorie Wilde was very careless. While you were keeping KV, I found letters from Rankin to her that didn't leave much doubt about their relationship, with Wilde's fingerprints all over them. But I think it was Rosamund who finally convinced him that his wife was having a full-blown affair.
How did you find that out?
The day after she'd overheard that conversation between them, the one you told me about, she went for a walk with Wilde. The gardener's child said that she appeared very upset. I'm certain that she was telling him about his wife's infidelity. And almost as soon as she'd done it, she regretted it. And that's why she went to look for Rankin in his room while Angela was having her bath. She waited for him to come back, but he stayed downstairs, pouring himself a last drink before he got a dagger in his back.
Will they get a conviction, do you think?
That's hard to say. Remember, he's already confessed once.
I suppose he thought he was being extraordinarily clever, pulling the wool over our eyes like that. God, what a ghastly business.
Yes, it's hardly a suitable introduction to the delights of Frantic. I take it you'll be going back there from time to time.
Well, I rather think I will, yes.
Well, I'm glad that something has come out of all this horror. May I give one word of advice to you both?
What's that?
Don't join in any more games of murder. It's best left to the experts.
In A Man Lay Dead by Niall Marsh, Chief Detective Inspector Allen was played by Jeremy Clyde. Sergeant Bunce, Stephen Thorne. Sir Hubert Hansley, Donald Sinden. Angela North, Molly Gaisford. Arthur Wilde, John Moffat. Marjorie Wilde, Dorothy Tutin. Nigel Bathgate, Nick Waring. Rosamund Grant, Susanna Corbett. Dr. Takareff, John Hartley. Charles Rankin, Derek Waring. A Man Lay Dead was dramatized by Michael Bakewell. It was directed by Enid Williams for BBC Radio 4 and is published in the UK by BBC Worldwide.